Good evening. You know, there are some things that are certain in this world. Tonight I want to pick out two of these truisms and explore them. Truth number one, man is not perfect. And truth number two, things do not always happen the way that we want them to. And truth number one, man is not perfect. We've read in Romans 3:23 and other passages that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Do we need a Bible passage to know that man is not perfect? Open the newspaper, watch the news, or just look around and we see evidence of man's imperfection everywhere. And truth number two, things don't always happen the way that we want them to, do they? Again, do we need a Bible passage to tell us this, or can we just think about hopes we've had and plans we've made and compare that to how things turned out? No, things don't always happen the way that we want them to. Shortly after I was baptized into Christ, someone close to me asked a very direct question about my faith. That's the title of my lesson tonight, Faith. She asked, "Will your faith hold up when things don't go the way you want them to? Will your faith hold up when things don't go the way you want them to?" Notice the question was not if things don't go the way I want, but rather when they don't go the way I want. Well, in an effort to defend my faith to this person, I felt myself begin to bristle and morph into a macho defensive mode. I wanted to shout, "Of course it will. Of course my faith will hold up." But something made me hold my peace. Instead, I searched for a truthful answer to this honest question. Will your faith hold up even when things don't go the way you want them to? Well, what is faith? Faith, by definition of the Greek word used in the New Testament, is the conviction of the truth of something. While Hebrews 11:1 is not a true definition of faith, it is a powerfully plain statement of the nature and providence of faith. Let's read Hebrews 11, 1 through 3 and 6. "Now faith is the substance, that is the foundation, of things hoped for, the evidence, or the proof, of things not seen. For by faith the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." Faith is the foundation of hope and the proof of things not seen. One important lesson we get from Hebrews chapter 11 is that while the Hebrew patriarchs of the Old Testament were still imperfect and fell short of the glory of God, by faith they put their lives in God's hands eventually and recognized that His will, not their will, would lead them to the ultimate promise, even if not along the path of their own choosing. I contrast this to Hebrews 11, verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Notice that verse 6 contains both the words faith and believe. The Greek word for believe actually comes from the Greek word for faith. To believe is to think something to be true, to be persuaded to the point of having confidence in it. So belief is the epitome of trust. How do we attain faith? How do we maintain faith? Let's look at how we attain it. First and foremost, Christian faith is not mere blind faith, but faith in evidence presented in such scriptures as Acts 1, verse 3, and 1 Corinthians 15, verses 5 through 8, wherein Christ presented himself alive, resurrected after his crucifixion and death, and was seen by Cephas, then by the 12, by over 500 brethren at once. And last of all, he was seen by the Apostle Paul. In passages like Acts 17:11 and 17:17 describe the means by which we can attain faith through fair-minded searching of the Scriptures and reasoning together. They, in the book of Acts 17, they searched for evidence and found it. Do we? Once we attain it, how do we maintain faith? Through our good works. Ephesians 2:10 reminds us, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Good works are a natural result of an authentic, saving faith. You know, second only to a Christian's total love for God is that we show through our good works that we live by Jesus' command in Mark 12:31 to love your neighbor as yourself. Christians are called by Jesus to be a positive influence on the world around them, acting as the salt of the earth and the light of the world, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. This way, being a faithful Christian leads us to be a blessing to those around us as we bring others the good news of the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that Christ commands. If faith should be explained lovingly to others, recalling the guidance of the Holy Spirit recorded in 1 Peter 3:15, wherein he wrote, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear." You see, arrogance and pride have no place in a Christian's manner. Humility and compassion are the things that make that good works are made of. It can be a challenge to keep your faith alive and strong at all times. Think of how many times we read in the Gospels how Jesus mildly rebuked his disciples, accusing them of little faith. Notice that the writer used the Greek word translated little faith. It does not mean no faith. It means doubt and uncertainty. So should we be ashamed if our faith wavers into doubt and uncertainty? Certainly not. But that's the time to ask your brethren for help. Pick up the phone. Call someone to pray with you and share your concerns. You know, you may be surprised how quickly your faith is restored, especially if you find out that you're not alone in your thoughts and the one you call to help is helped by you. We may not like the way that events are unfolding in the world, especially when they impact us personally. But consider Romans 8:31, in which the Apostle Paul writes of the great certainty and confidence that Christians can have in God's promise relative to those who have put their faith in Christ. Paul writes, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" Now, things certainly do not always happen the way that we want them to, but we're not the ones writing the script, are we? God's will is going to be done, so it's important to remember we walk by faith, not by sight. Man is certainly not perfect, and because of this, he needs help. How is a person to cope? Well, like most things Christian, the answer is simple. But the execution can be challenging. In spite of everything going on around us, God provides a safe path to salvation through Jesus. How? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Why? That whoever believes in him, whoever believes in him, should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. Let's find out what we must do in order to have everlasting life. We need faith in order to believe, and we come to believe by hearing the word of God, which is written down for us in the Bible. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. Belief leads us to recognize that we cannot heal ourselves. We need God's salvation through repentance. Repent means to be truly sorry for our sins and to desire to work on building a better relationship with God by finding out what He expects of us. Studying the Bible helps us understand what He expects of us. He expects us to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and He expects us to confess this openly. Romans 10:10 tells us, "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Jesus says in Mark 16:16, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." In order to attain everlasting life, we also must be baptized for the remission of sins, and the Lord will add us to His church, just as He added Christians in the first century. Man is not perfect, but with God's help and through Jesus Christ, we can come to the knowledge of the truth and learn how to live a life faithful to Him in a world over which we have little or no control. In a moment, you'll see instructions about how to contact us privately or publicly to learn more about the only way that can lead you to heaven. And even with the current restrictions, we'll find the means necessary to ensure that you can safely obey God's command and be baptized, whether you live nearby or through a congregation closer to you. If you desire to study God's Word further, or if you've strayed off His path and need help returning to the way, please follow these instructions to make your needs known to us while we sing the song of invitation.